True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, we are a little over 24 hours, I guess 28 hours, since I last came on the air for the first time, and I was a little bit really kind of down and upset about the J.J. Paterka trade. I've had more time to digest it. I think as yesterday morning went by, I felt a little better. Now, some of that is, of course, personally emotional, right? I have a young son who loves J.J. Paterka, and you're like, oh man, you always hate when that happens, right? We've all gone through that as sports fans. Somebody who you really like as a player, especially as a kid, you know, winds up leaving. Different day and age today. It happens more often with free agency than it did like when I was a kid in all these sports. But it does happen a lot. And we've had it happen way too often here in Buffalo, especially with the Sabres lately, right? Jack Eichel, Dylan Cousins, you know, name it Ryan Miller. It doesn't matter, right? Like, it happens for different reasons. And, you know, Sam Reinhart, now J.J. Paterka, whatever. I mean, when I was growing up, you had those. It was, you know, Danny Gare, Jim Schoenfeld, Tom Barrasso. You had those things happen as well. And it's just like, come on, it sucks. On the ice, I said a couple days ago, I just did not think that the Sabres would get the return that would make them better. And I still question if that's the case. But I will say, as I've gone through yesterday, and as I went through yesterday and got to today, and last night, and reading more people, hearing more people, listening to people who I respect who are smart and understand a little bit more about the games of the two players they brought in, especially Kesselring, I think the Sabres got some good players here that can help them, and especially him. Even Doan, I think it can be a nice player, but we'll see where it goes. So I do think from that aspect, and the fact that, you know, there's some lot of analytics and numbers that say, and we all knew this, that, you know, some deficiencies in JJ's game, and, you know, that they're going to be a better team building it this way. And I think that's the part I want to respect more, is the build of the team, the build of what they're trying to do here. And that's kind of where I've landed today a little bit more. But now we have to dovetail it into tonight, right? Tonight is the start of the NHL draft. And we're going to have coverage for you here on WGR all night long, starting at 7 p.m. Sabres hold the number 9 pick. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Brian Colzio and Brayton Wilson are going to be hosting the draft coverage tonight. Paul Hamilton's going to be down at One Bills Drive. That's where the Sabres will have their media and war room. Zach Jones, Evan DePasquale, we got all hands on deck tonight as well as tomorrow. Joe Calley, Owen Parker, TJ Luckman. So everybody involved here at WGR giving you the best coverage possible of the 2025 NHL draft tonight. I do think it matters still, though. I'm not here to tell you I think they won the trade. I never thought they could win the trade. I still don't think they won the trade. I do think they set themselves up, though, to really help themselves going forward if they, the Sabres that is, make the proper necessary moves on top of this deal. This has to be paired with another deal. That's what I've said all along, and I still believe that. That might start tonight with the number 9 pick. I've said for a while, I hope the Sabres trade the number 9 pick. I don't care if they package it with Bo Byram or whatever they do. I want them to trade the pick because I don't need another number 9 player, number 9 pick overall. They've been down this road. They have a backlog of prospects. We've been talking about how young they are and how good the prospects are for quite a while. And I don't need that anymore. I need to win now. So that's where I am about tonight. Before we do any of that today, we're going to learn more about the two players the Sabres drafted. I'm sorry, two Sabres players the Sabres traded for. Belle Frazier is scheduled to join me here momentarily. She covers the Utah Mammoth for the Salt Lake Tribune. So we'll do that with Belle. And then at 10:30 today, we are going to talk with Brayton Wilson. Brayton is, he's always on top of the draft. He's always on top of the NHL draft, like what's happening for, you know, the Sabres, number 9, lots of the early picks, where the board could fall. We'll get with Brayton at the bottom of the hour. And then Paul Hamilton. You're going to hear a lot from Paul this weekend. Today, he was on this morning. He'll be on with me today. You can follow Paul on Twitter at PM1717, WGR550.com as well. And of course, he'll be down at One Bills Drive. That's right. The Sabres taking over the Bills media and war room area because this is a decentralized draft, much different than what we normally see in the NHL, much more of an NFL type of format. And as Joe said yesterday, and I agree with this, thinking about it, you know, the NFL has the combine in their form. The NHL has a combine. It's totally different. The NFL combine is like a national convention, basically. Then they also have the owners' meetings, which is a little more intimate, but it really involves everybody at the highest of levels. So these guys, these people, men and women who run organizations in the NHL and the NFL, they get together in February, at the end of February, at the end of March. And then by the time you get to draft, they've already talked to each other. In the NHL, it's different. In the NHL, really, the draft is the spot where everybody goes to, but not this year, which is why maybe you see a few trades made before draft night. They're not in the same room. They're not going to be in the same room. So it's going to be a little bit different this year than normal, but I'm looking forward to it because the Sabres do have the number 9 pick, and I think there are a lot of possibilities out there. They made a big move yesterday. J.J. Paterka traded overnight, basically, yesterday to the Utah Mammoth. Sabres receiving Josh Doan and Michael Kesselring in return. Belle Frazier covers the Utah Mammoth for the Salt Lake Tribune. She joins me right now on the Wester Hotline. Belle, thank you so much for joining me here today in WGR. We really appreciate it. I know it's a little bit earlier in the morning for you over there.
No biggie. It's draft day, so I was up anyways. Obviously, I heard you previewing it, but a big day for a lot of teams.
No doubt about it. We'll get into that. I want to ask you and start off this first of all, because from the Sabres' point of view and fans, they want to know first and foremost what the Sabres are getting in these players from the Utah Mammoth. Now, these guys did meet on a Zoom call with the local media yesterday. A lot of good reviews on the type of people they are, the type of players that they're bringing in here, community people in the community that they'll have. But on the ice, let's start with Josh Doan. What kind of player is he? And then you could talk about off the ice as well.
Yeah, Josh Doan, I think when you look at his production this year for Utah, he only played 51 games and he had 19 points, 7 goals, 12 assists. And he'll tell you that he wished he was more consistent there. He spent a part of the season in the AHL with the Tucson Roadrunners, but he came back midway through the season when Dylan Gunther got hurt. And you could just tell in practice and in games that he was not leaving the NHL lineup again, and that was true. He battled his way into a middle six position, and he found a lot of success on the third line with Jack McBain and Lawson Krause. And I think the biggest thing about Josh Doan is just his motor and his work ethic and his forecheck, his battles against the walls, loose puck battles. You know, that's a guy who's going to be in front of nets doing anything to get a rebound, boxing goalies out. He's physical. He'll throw a hit. He'll take a hit. So he really is that type of nail gun player that wears his heart on his sleeve. And I think the goal and assist production will come with that. He always talks about, you know, having a plan B and making sure all other aspects of your game are going well if you're not scoring. And I think what really helps with him is, as people can imagine, as Shane Doan's son and being around the game for so long, he has a really strong mental game. He's not on the bench having poor posture, snapping his stick or anything. You would think he's 35 the way he acts and he's 23. You know, he has a real sense of leadership to him. So I think that's a positive for Buffalo and kind of goes into the type of person he is. I think I tweeted this out, but Josh Stone and Michael Kessering, I think, were two of the best humans in the Utah locker room. From a media perspective, you know, they're addressing you by their name, which seems small, but with professional athletes, it does go a long way just with respect, and they care deeply about their play, about their team, about their community. They quickly turned into two fan favorites in a brand new market, which hadn't had an NHL team before, and I think the outcry of heartbreak when they got traded, even though Utah got J.J. Paterka and, like you said, on paper, probably got the best player in the trade, the fact that fans were still so upset about it, I think, shows the impact these guys had in Salt Lake City this year.
Yeah, it's ironic too, Bell, to be honest with you. I don't know if you're aware, but here in Buffalo, about 10, 11 years ago, maybe a little shorter than that, about 10 years ago, there was a big push here, and we thought the Sabres were going to sign Shane Doan, actually. And the GM at the time, Darcy Regier, like, there was a big thing about, you know, Shane Doan being connected to the Sabres. They went after him. They tried to get him. It never worked out, obviously. He stayed in Arizona. And now here comes Josh Doan. So things kind of come full circle from that regard. He is the kind of, he's a bit smaller than his dad, but it does seem like he has the same kind of game as his dad. And I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's funny how things work out. This is kind of full circle then.
All right, so let's talk about the other player the Sabres got here, right-handed shot defenseman Michael Kesselring, who the Sabres really were after this type of player, it seems like, a right-handed shot defenseman. He's physical, he's bigger. It's not that he's going to go around punching you in the face all the time, but he's going to be tough to play against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really stepped up this season, and he got a lot more opportunity than he and the team probably thought he would have this year because Utah had so many defensive injuries to open the season. You know, John Marino had lower back surgery, was out for 3 to 5 months. Sean Durzi had shoulder surgery, same timeline. And then guys were just in and out of the lineup with injuries. But Kesselring really was there to fill that gap. And he played first pair minutes with Mikhail Sergachev, second pair with Ian Cole. He kind of played with every defenseman available. And he also got time on the power play on the second unit, running the point there. So I think he really got to prove himself as an NHL caliber player. And, you know, he's a sixth round draft pick, started at Edmonton, was in the AHL there, got traded to Arizona. And he always talks about playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. So I think this year for him was all about consistency, which he struggled with at times. But when he was on, he was on. And he has all the assets that, if he can put it together, can be, you know, a really big name, kind of a unicorn in the NHL. You know, he had 29 points this year, 7 goals, 22 assists. He's 6'5", 215 pounds. He can fight. He hits, and he's an offensive defenseman, puck-moving defenseman, but he was forced to kind of learn to be more stay-at-home when he was paired with guys like Mikhail Sergachev or possibly Owen Power in the future. So, I think you guys are getting a guy whose ceiling is he hasn't hit yet. And someone who has a lot of potential to grow into a bigger role, because once Marino and Durzi did come back, his role kind of lessened. And he talked about kind of the mental side of that, how it was tough for him to go from playing, you know, 20 minutes a night, which was a career high, to more 12 to 14 once those guys came back. But he found different ways to impact the game. And that was a really big thing for him, transitioning into whatever the team needed from him instead of worrying about his individual game. And I think that's when you saw the fights come through, because he had limited ice time. So he just wanted to shift the momentum of a game. He did that in that Toronto game, and Utah right after scored 3 goals. So I think he's really a team oriented guy who has the skill, has the size, and just needs, you know, the people around him to help him get to that highest potential.
One thing that we've noticed here in Buffalo that I've seen people write about is this guy shoots a lot. He led the Utah team last year in total, as far as defensemen. He led all their defensemen in shots on goal with 150. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that he just shooting all over the place, or is he calculated? Is he smart about it? I think, you know, that's one thing that you know, Sabres fans have kind of latched onto a little bit here.
Yeah, I think he has grown to be calculated and smart about it. And you would kind of see it in waves, because sometimes he wouldn't be shooting, and then the coaches would be like, we need our D-men to be more active. And I actually did a feature on Kesselring, and he went back to Boston for the first time. But I talked to his AHL coach back in Bakersfield and his coach at Northeastern University, where he played college hockey, and they said the number one thing they told Kesselring through his development was, use your shot. Like, it's a rocket. Use it. So I think for him it's the balance, right, of being more responsible in the NHL, because it isn't college hockey and it isn't the AHL. but also knowing he has an asset that, even if it doesn't go in, creates a lot of chaos in front of the net. I mean, you see the 22 assists he had. So I think getting it on net is important for him. It's a big part of what differentiates him from the other defensemen, at least on Utah. But he, like you said, he definitely had to learn when to use it and when not to use it. But I don't think he's, you know, recklessly just throwing the puck on net, at least, you know, last year with the Mammoth.
Bell Frazier joining us here on the Western Hotline. Sabres trade J.J. Paterka for Josh Doan and Michael Kesselring. All right, you mentioned great human beings. That's right. You know, that's great to hear. You want people in your locker room who are like that. But, of course, coming with that, what the Sabres also need is some leadership, some guys that, you know, will be able to kind of, you know, do the things the right way. I think what they've been lacking here from the fans' perspective is some body language stuff. Some, you know, guys that just they've kind of checked out when things aren't going their way. What about from that standpoint, from what you see from these guys and their character on the ice?
Yeah, I think that's what goes into their high praise in Utah, is because they cared so much and they were such hard workers, and you never saw those two quit. And Utah went through some tough times. I mean, they didn't have their full lineup, their full roster until the 50-game point of the season because of all the injuries, like I said, defensively, but also forward. So these guys were really tested. Josh Doan dealt with a lot of adversity. He made the opening night roster, which was really important to him in this first year. But then, you know, 3 to 4 games later, got sent down to the AHL and didn't come back until January. And I did a story about that, too. And everyone said he had the greatest attitude about it. He was talking, you know, to Utah front office about what they wanted him to work on. And a lot of it was just confidence and getting in front of the net and getting those rebounds and asserting himself a little bit more. And you could see an actual shift in his game when you came back. So I think for both of those guys, if they get knocked down, they're coming back stronger. For young players, they really do have a good head on their shoulders. And I think for both of them, too, they're excited about this opportunity in Buffalo because they want to be part of the help. They want to be part of the change. Kesselring always talks about that when, you know, he got less playing time. It was just so hard for him because all he wanted to do was be out there to help this team win. And he thrives off of getting opportunity. And I think Josh Doan, too, does as well. And those are two guys who have worked for every single inch they've gotten with Utah last year. And I think that will bode well in Buffalo, where maybe they can get a little bit more opportunity. And I think if anyone's going to embrace it, it's Kessler and Doan.
You can read more of Bell's work, her stories she's referencing on these two newest Buffalo Sabres. She is on Twitter, on social media, at Bell, B-E-L-L-E, Frazier, F-R-A-S-E-R-1, at Bell Frazier 1. All right, so the question then is, you're telling us all these great things about these guys the Sabres are getting. Why did Utah make this deal then? They're getting into good player, J.J. Paterka, but why were they comfortable trading these two players who are so helpful and could be guys that could help them going on in the future?
Well, we talked to Bill Armstrong yesterday, and his answer was kind of what I agreed with. To get something great, you got to give up something great as well. And I think for Utah, when you look at their defensive depth right now, they have Olli Maatta, Nick DeSimone, John Marino, Ian Cole, Mikhail Sergachev, all locked up for next year. And then they also just signed Dmitry Simashev, who was their 6th overall pick in 2023, who is, you know, a 6'5" defenseman as well. Maverick Lamoureux, they have in the AHL. He's another right-shot defenseman, as well as Artem Duda. And both of those guys have been developing with the Tucson Roadrunners for a bit now. So I think they felt comfortable with their defensive depth. They could still go out and fill that. Same with Doan. They have a roster spot open now, but I think they have guys in the pipeline who will fight for that. You know, Daniel Boot just signed as with Dmitry Simashev. They're both coming over from the KHL. So I think they felt comfortable there. But the biggest thing is, beyond, you know, the hole that Kesselring and Doan leave, is the hole that J.J. Paterka fills in the top six. The amount of games that Utah lost by one goal or lost in overtime, 13, which was a league high, and they were only missed the playoffs by 7 points. So that would have pushed them across the finish line, and all of those 1 points lost, it was a constant for them. They'd go into the third period and they'd need one backbreaking goal to get ahead or to tie the game or to widen the gap, and they could never get it. And they were leaning a lot on Clayton Keller, on Logan Cooley, on Dylan Gunther in the top six to produce for the team. And they just need someone with that scoring touch in the top six. They need the speed. They need, reinforcements up there. And I think J.J. Paterka fit that bill. And another big thing for him is he is the same age range as a lot of Utah's young core, 23 years old. Logan Cooley just turned 21. Dylan Gunther is 21, 22. So I think that made Armstrong feel comfortable that not only is Paterka coming in to help that top six, but he's also on the same timeline of this team, and he was willing to sign the extension, which with the cap going up is a pretty fair deal for Utah. So I think it was a lot of things that made sense for them, and also not having to give up any picks or any prospects, you know, two roster players for Paterka, who hopefully will be a big part of their forward core going forward, is a deal I think you can't turn down for them.
Couple fan questions for you. I know here the fan reaction yesterday was immediately, oh my God, I can't believe it. They traded J.J. Paterka, and now you have a hole in your team player, scored a lot of goals. As the day went on, as I said, I started listening and reading people more on the two guys coming back and going, okay, this is a better deal than I thought over the Sabres. Maybe not the best player in the deal, but they've helped themselves. What was the fan reaction knowing how popular these two players were, but also knowing they were getting J.J. Paterka?
It was a mix for sure. I think the fans that have been here since day one, and you know, Delta Center sold out every game this year. Fans were on the boards the whole time. There was a really special connection between the inaugural team here and the fan base. They were heartbroken, and we were kind of joking that it was like they've had so many firsts this year as new NHL fans, and you always remember your first trade heartbreak. So especially it breaking in the fashion it did, 10 p.m. Mountain Time, midnight Eastern Time. It was. I grew up a Rangers fan, so I was having flashbacks to, you know, the 2016 rebuild. But I think it's just shock for a lot of the fans, and it's something that you go through. And like I said, those are two guys that people really gravitated towards this year. So they were more upset about the human. But then I think once they read the stories about Paterka and what he can do for the top six, and I wrote this in one of my columns. I said, this is what serious teams do. You know, the first year was fun, and it was, you know, a bunch of rainbows and butterflies around Utah because the NHL is finally here and people love the team, but they're not just here to have fun. They're here to win hockey games. They're here to make the playoffs. And I think people are starting to realize that J.J. Paterka gives them a much better chance to do that. And I think fans also got comfort that Kessling and Doan were going together. I'm sure you've read this, but they've been roommates for the last 2 years in Arizona and in Utah. They have three pets. Kessling has two cats named Sox and Ranger. And then Josh Stone has like a St. Bernard poodle named Hank. So this year in Utah, they had to keep them on different floors of their house. But they said that they're all going to be going to Buffalo. They're going to be living together again. All the pets will be reunited. So I think that is the one good upside that Utah fans are happy that they're such best friends and they're going to this next stage of their career together. And that they can probably catch a couple Buffalo games now, too, and watch both of them at the same place.
Yeah, that's great. I love that story. And you saying you grew up a Rangers fan. It's funny. Paterka was linked to the Rangers going back to the last trade deadline, as you know. The Sabres ultimately, they trade him ultimately to Utah. But if I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what do you think about the changes that they've gone through, coaching change and where they are right now? A little bit of a disappointment last year, obviously, from what their expectations were.
Yeah, I mean, brutal. It was shocking. And I think it's obviously with the Chris Kreider trade, it's the last remnants of that 2014 core no longer left. I know JT Miller is there, but those were kind of the glory days of the Rangers for the few years after that. And then obviously all the Eastern Conference final runs, and it seems like they ran out of gas, but honestly, more like a culture problem. And I think the trades they made are showing that they're not going to a full rebuild, but maybe a retool on the fly. Mm-hmm. In terms of coaching, I'm a fan of it. I mean, I'm biased. I went to Boston University. So the fact that Mike Sullivan's the bench boss with David Quinn and Joe Sacco, who are all former Boston University players, I love it. And I do think that's the kind of leadership you need in there in terms of Mike Sullivan. He's a no BS guy, obviously, Four Nations, Olympics. That's someone that commands respect and the best out of his players. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how David Quinn does, especially how his last stint in New York went, which was a firing. But I think the Rangers have to prove themselves all over again. You know, my family is also Rangers fans. They're my childhood team, but now that you're in the media, you kind of look at it differently. But they're like, they need to prove to us that they're a real hockey team again. Like, we're not coming in excited about this season yet. So they're in a tough spot, but it'll be interesting to see what they do this offseason going into next year.
You've been awesome with your time. I really appreciate it. I do have one more. Yesterday, of course, you have the trade, and then the NBA trade happens, and this Ace Bailey kid goes to Utah. And I don't know how much you are into, you know, following all that or covering it. I know you don't cover it professionally necessarily. You're on the Mammoth side, but what's been going on over there? Like, what's been the reaction on sports radio and, you know, in print and all that over the Ace Bailey situation?
Yeah, well, I'm not a huge NBA follower, but I love our Tribune coverage of it. So I was asking our beat reporter and kind of people around, and they were saying they think that Ace Bailey is like the second most talented person in the draft. They're excited about it, but everyone was freaking out about when he was going to talk to the media, if Utah was a place mm-hmm. they actually wanted to be. And, you know, last year, the Tribune beat reporter said media happened the Tuesday after the draft, so they wouldn't be too worried about that. But yeah, they haven't talked to him yet. I think ESPN has reported and made it a bit more of a situation than maybe it is out here. Mm-hmm. But I think for them, if everything works out, that's a great player to get at five, especially because they were hoping to be higher up in the draft. And they're being talked about. You know, Jazz fans actually have something to be hopeful for. That's kind of been a storyline here this season where a lot of Jazz fans have turned to the NHL just because it's a little bit more positive. The team is on an upward trajectory and the Jazz have been so depressing. But for them, with the Ace Bailey news, at least something is happening with their team. And I think people feel that they're in the headlines. And like I said, if it worked out, this could be a really big player for the Jazz. So we shall see. You can imagine it's been a busy week with NBA and NHL draft. But yeah, I mean, that's what I know of the situation.
Well, listen, enjoy tonight, and thank you so much for coming on here today. I really appreciate it. And thank you also for getting back to me so quickly. I searched. I'm like, I got to get a Mammoth reporter on. You're the first person I found, and you got back to me very quickly, and that's very much appreciated. So thank you so much. And now I know where I'm getting my Utah Mammoth coverage going forward. And for my son, by the way, who's a very big J.J. Paterka fan, and he's a little bit heartbroken. And like you were talking earlier, he's 11 years old, and he's heartbroken. He's got a couple J.J. jerseys, so he'll be following from afar for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me.
You got it. That is Belle Frazier. Go and follow her on Twitter at Belle Frazier, BelleFraser1, Utah Mammoth. Yeah, and then Ace Bailey gets drafted by the Utah Jazz, and he's like, I'm not playing there. Like, this is one of the teams they took. Do not draft me. I'm not going to play for you. And you got to go kind of read some of the quotes coming out. And yeah, ESPN, Brian Windhorst, things he's saying, and kind of a crazy situation there. We'll see how it plays out. But tonight, NHL draft, Sabres have the 9th overall pick. Brayton Wilson joins me next to preview at least the top of the draft, if not beyond, because Brayton's so smart about all of this. I want to ask him about some of the players the Sabres can get their hands on in the North Town.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Automotive Extra Point Show.
Well, I think I've seen some people refer to it even as a two-player draft. We don't quite see it that way. We see more 5, 6, 7 players, and then maybe a little bit of a drop-off, and a big cluster of players after that. So I guess the intrigue and the nervousness will be how we view the top 6, 7 to be. Will one of those be there at 9 for? Could there be a situation where we move up? If we have the pick, do we move up? Do we move back? if all the players are gone or if one of them's still available there at, you know, 7 or 8.
Sabres assistant general manager. I think that's the correct title, right, Josh? Jerry Fortin? Because I know he's a director of amateur scouting, but also the assistant general manager as well now, Jerry Fortin. He joined Kevin Adams in a press conference earlier this week. You can hear that. If you haven't yet, go back and listen on demand at WGR550.com. Sal Capaccio with you here on NHL Draft Night. Joined in studio back in Amherst, I'm in studio. Capaccio is Brayton Wilson joining me right now. I appreciate Brayton coming aboard. He's got his duties at WBEN. So if something were to happen and Brayton had to bow out, we totally understand, Brayton. But let's hope that's not the case, and we can just talk NHL draft here. So good morning to you.
Morning. Yeah, no, I think we should be okay for the time that we're going to be chatting here for a little bit.
All right, so Sabres hold the number 9 overall pick. We spoke about a month ago. Have you changed any thoughts you have about the top 10, let's say, maybe what you had a month ago, maybe what you had a couple months ago? What has changed? A lot of times in the NFL, coming from that sport and covering the draft, you'll see a lot of guys rise, a lot of guys fall. How has that kind of morphed over the last couple months?
Yeah, I mean, I've been following a lot of the talk that's been going around town just about where some of these teams value some of these prospects. And it's really interesting to hear just how they like a prospect and whether or not that's just, you know, that's smoke or if it's real or if it's just something to kind of get the scent off of another team trying to pursue a certain prospect. It's really interesting to see how some of these teams have been talked about, how they're approaching this draft. And, you know, my top 10 has, you know, I had my mock draft over at WGR550.com, and I already kind of had it together a little bit 2 weeks ago. And in the 2 weeks, I think I've changed around my selections 3 different times. And within that top 10, I think I did it twice to a couple of different players. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see who falls where and just whether or not some of those rumors were true.
Matthew Schaefer, clearly the number one pick, right? There's no doubt about that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't foresee him falling out of at least the top 2, because, I mean, if it's not the Islanders taking him, then it's going to be San Jose. San Jose could use a number one defenseman in the future down the road. So if he falls to San Jose, that would be a little shocking. Not entirely just like, oh my God, no one saw that coming, but at least in my eyes, it would be shocking just to not see Matthew Schaefer going number one to the Islanders. But then after that, it's kind of a hodgepodge of which center, which forwards are going to go where.
It's always different, again, comparable to the NFL. I've said the other day, the NHL is a prospects draft, right? It's not like you're filling needs right away. In the NFL, if you're picking number 9, you can say, look, we have a need right here. The Bills draft at number 9, Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, bam, they plug him right in. That's not the case in the NHL. These guys are going to develop. That being said, how did, if at all, the trade the Sabres made yesterday, J.J. Paterka out, a couple of guys coming in, including a right-shot defenseman they've been looking for, Michael Kesselring. How does that change, in your mind, any thinking the Sabres might have?
I don't think it really changes much of anything. Where they're sitting right now at number 9, they're probably going to take what they feel is best player available. They could go defense. They could go forward. And I mean, they're not going to take goaltender at this point. There's only really one goaltender that's been talked about as a first round pick this year, but I don't think that changes their mindset at all. I think it should be with where they are at number 9 in the draft order. It should be best player available. However, given the fact that they do have a pretty strong and deep prospect pool, I could also see them going and approaching this and saying, okay, there's a particular prospect we like. We could take a swing at this guy and know that, okay, we do have a hole here, and it would be nice to add him and plug in that hole in the prospect depth chart and you know, down the road for when he comes into the NHL. It'll be interesting how Buffalo approaches this draft. Listening to Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin the other day, Kevin Adams obviously said it's best player available, but then we heard Jerry Fortin talking about, you know, a guy like Radim Mirka, who's a big, tall, right-shot defenseman, and obviously NHL teams love right-shot defensemen because they're a rare commodity, especially when you got a guy like Mirka, who's 6'6", 200, let's see, he's 6'6", 216 pounds out of Czechia. Yeah, just, you know, that's a guy that if he's available there for the Sabres, I would think long and hard about taking him with that 9th pick.
All right, you have the Sabres in your latest mock. You'd like people to go read it, but I'll just say it here so you can talk about them. Brady Martin, center from the Sioux Greyhounds. Why did you have him mocked to the Sabres at number 9?
He is just a wrecking ball. Like, that's the best way I can describe him. He is a player that has a super high ceiling, and if he hits that ceiling, it's a pretty complete ceiling with being a super skilled player, being good at both ends of the rink, and also just going around and hitting anything and everything that's in his sight. There are some people that have said that Brady Martin is maybe the best hitter in hockey, period. You know, and he's only 18 years old, and people were saying that he hits better than some guys in the NHL. He's just very methodical. He kind of goes in with, I wouldn't say reckless abandon, because that oftentimes could lead to injury, but he's very smart about the way that he engages physically with the opposing players, and just he's got that upside of being potentially a skilled forward too. He's not flashy by any means. He's not going to go out there and score, you know, these ridiculously insane goals, but he's going to do the hard work to get into the scoring positions, to get into areas of the ice where he can put a puck on net and create a good high danger chance. It's just a guy that I think a lot of players are licking their chops over. And also the fact that, you know, one thing I kind of like, he's a farm boy. He's a kid that knows he has to put the work in and has to put the effort in order to get places. And I think a lot of teams are going to like that. And I could see Brady Martin going as high as the fourth overall pick with Utah. There were talks right after the combine that he had went out to dinner with Utah and that they were in love with him. And there are some other teams like Boston, I think, is another team that could absolutely grab Martin at number 7 just because of the style of play that he is. And a lot of people want to compare him to Brad Marchand. So Boston fans are probably like, well, if we're not getting Brad Marchand back in free agency, then why not go get his replacement, a much younger replacement in Brady Martin?
Is there a guy that is kind of a pretty polarizing guy in this draft? We've had a few of these guys in the last couple of years where teams kind of like if they pull the trigger because they're really banking on the upside, but man, it is a risky play.
Yeah, there's a few guys, but it's a little later in the draft. The big question mark, I think, in the top tier of this draft is Roger McQueen. And the reason I say that is because he's super talented. He's got the raw skill and ability to be arguably a number one center. There are some people that think that Roger McQueen, if he hits that ceiling at the NHL level, if he hits that high point, he could be one of the better centers in the NHL, being just super skilled, tall at 6'5". And, you know, a lot of people want to throw the comparison to Tage Thompson out there because they're so similar. Right shot, big body, good offensive skill, and they can play a good two-way game. The only concern about Roger McQueen, and this is a concern that the Blue Jackets, they took the risk by drafting Caden Lindstrom last year, fourth overall, is Roger McQueen dealt with a pretty significant back injury, not just last year for the most of the year, but he had the problems in the 23-24 season, and doctors misdiagnosed that back injury as well, so it lingered for months for him. He just never really got the chance to really kind of fully display what he possibly could do in his draft year, but I guess for the combine, he said he was feeling 100% and he was just about ready to go and kind of move past all the injuries and look forward to his now NHL career, which, you know, I guess I can't say NHL career because you get drafted and you're obviously not immediately thrown to the NHL. But, you know, post NHL draft, he's looking forward to continuing his development and showing the team that drafted him why he was worth the pick.
Also, let's be honest, Brayton. If that guy hits his ceiling, he is going to have a ton of endorsements with that name, right? Roger McQueen.
Yes.
I mean, who wouldn't want Roger McQueen in all of their advertisements on television? I mean, this guy's destined for the movies, I think, at some point.
Yeah, no. I mean, he is a fun player. He really is a fun player to watch. Again, he only played 17 games this year because of his injury, but the intangibles are there for a skilled center down the middle. He's got a nice shot to him. He can dangle and skate around guys like a Tage Thompson can. Again, it's just the back injuries and whether or not those are actually behind him, and then he can continue to perform and not let that linger at any point in the rest of his career.
All right, buddy. Well, the number 9 pick, a lot of people want to, I'd like to see it moved. We have Bo Byram out there. You have the number 9 pick. We'll see what happens. What do you think the appetite is for the Sabres and the NHL for that pick?
it's so tough, and I think we've talked about this before, that top 10 picks don't move very often in the NHL. Mm-hmm. They really don't. The last one that did was the Senators, I think, when they traded for Alex DeBrincat. I think that's the last time that we saw a top 10 pick move at all, and there have been other instances, but it's rare. Teams, when they find their guy in the top of the class that they really like, they would just rather sit and wait to see what happens, and then they have all the other, you know, contingency picks, the plan A's, the plan B's, the plan C's. And, you know, I personally would love to see the Sabres move this pick. I don't think they need a prospect that's going to continue to develop and may not be here for another 2, 3, 4 seasons. But again, just what are you exactly going to get out of trading the 9th overall pick? It has to be something that kind of blows your socks off. And I don't know what exactly that might be this year. I mean, is it a guy like Noah Dobson? Okay, but I don't think that's going to happen. Is it part of a trade that maybe you take a swing at a Jason Robertson tonight from Dallas? I mean, that's something that would be a little more intriguing. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to keep the 9th pick. I don't think they're going to move up. I don't know what team is going to want to, you know, give up that spot. Like, even if they wanted to try and move up to, say, 7 or 6 with Boston or Philadelphia, I don't see either of those teams moving from their spot. They're just going to let the board fall as it plays, and then they're going to make their selection and move on. Again, I would love to see the pick moved. I said it right after the draft lottery. Hey, they need to go focus and trade that pick, but I just think that's not going to happen at this point.
All right, buddy, get ready for a long night and maybe even a long weekend. You're going to be out tonight with Brian Coles. You'll start at 7, right?
Yep, yeah, looking forward to tonight, Brian and I. This is, oh, God, how many drafts have we done? This is my 10th draft that I've been here at WGR in Odyssey, Buffalo. And wow. I think I've done coverage with Brian at least since 2017, hosting with him at the very least. I know a couple years ago he couldn't do it, so I hosted with Josh, I think. But, this is super exciting. I always look forward to this time of year. It is kind of like Christmas for me, where you get so excited, so amped up, and then when it gets here, it's just like, oh, I kind of don't want it to end. And then you get through the night, and you're just like, okay, yeah, I'm glad it's over.
it's like Thanksgiving dinner. You wait, and then it's over kind of in a flash, right? Yeah. Follow him on Twitter, at Brayton J. Wilson. And, of course, coverage tonight on WGR and WGR550.com. Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sal. Anytime.
All right, you got it. That is Brayton Wilson doing a great job covering the NHL draft, as he always does every year for us here at WGR and Odyssey. We'll take a timeout when we come back. I wrote it on Twitter earlier. I haven't yet talked about it. I will. I have a Bills recent comparable for the J.J. Paterka trade for some similarities that I think are really interesting, but also some differences, obviously. But I'll tell you what that is, who that is, and why that is when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, earlier today, before the show, I tweeted,
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That I had a recent Bills comparable I want to run by you when it comes to J.J. Paterka. And I actually had someone, Ghost Mike, who tweeted at me exactly who it is. And that is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And that is Tremaine Edmonds. I want to give a little comparison here. I thought it was just kind of thinking about it a little bit. I think the Tremaine Edmonds situation, very similar in regards to J.J. Paterka. And of course, very different, right? It's not the exact same one-on-one, one-for-one comparable. But, you know, Tremaine came into the NFL very young. And usually guys come in a little bit older. So by the time he got 4 or 5 years in the league, he was way younger than most people. By the time his career in Buffalo ended, he was only 24. And he had already played 5 years in the league, right? Like, J.J. Paterka's 23, and he's played 3 years in the league. So, you know, from that standpoint, very young players who were still, in a lot of people's minds, developing, ascending, right? Now, you might argue Tremaine hit a ceiling. That's fine. The other reason why, though, is I will tell you this. Very, very polarizing as far as their game and the debate about them, which is, for Tremaine, it was always, boy, he makes a lot of tackles. Like, he's big, he's physical. He was at times, but how do I want to phrase this? He's long, he's athletic, he does a lot of things well. He also is missing some key components of his game, which are mainly splash plays and really making a play when it matters and a difference-making type of play. Like, that was kind of the deficiency of him. He got eaten up a little bit by bigger players, right? Like, because of his athleticism and length, but bigger players would eat him up and he wouldn't be able to get off blocks and shed blocks. Then you have JJ, who goal score, 5-on-5 goal score, exactly what you need. But you know what? Deficiencies in his defensive end. Like, if you're going to have a middle linebacker, you got to be able to shed blocks. If you're going to be a top six forward, you got to play a little bit more and on the defensive end than JJ has. So I think from that standpoint, right, very comparable because of the debate we've had. To me, the debate between the two players from fans is really similar. These young players who then went out and got big contracts. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds was paid the highest paid linebacker in the league that year as a free agent. He got the most money of any free agent linebacker in the NFL that year. And he got a huge deal to leave Buffalo. And it's like, do you even pay him? J.J. Paterka just got $7.7 million for 5 years. Lots of debate on, should you even pay him? What are you getting? Are you tying up your money in a guy that you're really going to kind of regret at the end? And I think the debate itself, whatever you answer you arrive at is fine, but the debate itself is very similar. Here's where they're different. And this is interesting to me. But I will say, maybe similar, because when Tremaine left, it was, okay, here's our guy filling his spot. The Bills had a plan. They had a plan with Terrell Bernard. Terrell Bernard's going to be the middle linebacker. How many people out there said, that can't be your plan? Look at him. Look at his size. There's no way that guy can fill in and be your middle linebacker. You have to have a better plan than that. Well, the Bills had a plan, and for the most part, it's worked. He has missed a couple games. He is undersized. He's made more splash plays. He's a very good player. So good, they actually paid him, as opposed to Tremaine Edmonds. JJ, to me, this is where I say you can't have the same plan that the Bills had. You can't fix and replace, I should say, what you lost in JJ Paterka internally, like the Bills did with Tremaine Edmonds internally with Terrell Bernard. You can't do that if you're the Sabres. You have to go out and find somebody. But who knows? Maybe the Sabres believe they can replace J.J. Paterka internally. And I just think that that is not the way to go here. The difference between the two teams, where they were in their timelines too, right? Like, you have a team around, and letting go of Tremaine Edmonds isn't going to kill you because you're already kind of there and you just got to replace him. And yeah, it could not maybe go as well as you want with Bernard, but you should be okay because you should be insulated by all the other talent. That's not the case with the Sabres. Like, they need somebody. They got to have somebody step in. They need to win now. They don't have the kind of team that's been going to the playoffs and winning playoff rounds to say, you know what, if we miss on it, we should be okay because of everything else we have. You can't have that luxury. So that's why, to me, I still get to, you have to pair that trade with another move. You got to pair it somehow with another move. Could be a trade tonight. Could be a trade this weekend. It could be a trade sometime in the next month. Remember, Ryan McLeod, that trade happened after the draft last year. It happened, I think, on like July 5th or 6th or 3rd, right around 4th of July. I remember because it was the night the Savannah Bananas played in Buffalo, and I went to the game. It was that time period, and that's how I found out, going to the game. You could also sign a free agent. Could be that. Maybe they know that they're going to get someone. So I think a lot of the comparables are the same with this young player, very polarizing, does a lot of things people like, but has a lot of deficiencies people don't like. There's a money component where you think, should you pay him? Should you not pay him? Young, maybe ascending in some ways, but may have kind of maxed out in a lot of other ways, and then you move on from him. The difference is the Bills had a plan, and even though a lot of people questioned it, it did work with Terrell Bernard. I would say that. It did work. Maybe you disagree. I say it worked. With the Sabres, I don't think that's their plan, but if it is, I'm pretty terrified. And we'll see. I think it's got to be something else. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton on the other side of this timeout as we roll along on a Friday, NHL draft day and night here on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.